A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a green planet in space. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, snow-dusted mountains loom over a valley where a man drives a horse-drawn wagon. Titles appear. In CinemaScope, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, copyright 1954. The wagon splashes through a river. More titles, starring Jane Powell as Millie, Howard Keel as Adam, Jeff Richards, Rust Hamblin, Tommy Rao, Howard Petrie, Virginia Gibson, Ian Wolfe. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Carrie Danahy and Christopher Flowers. Read by Miles Neff. For more about description, call DVS at 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at access.wgbh.org. Screenplay by Albert Hackett and Francis Goodrich and Dorothy Kingsley. Based on the story The Sobbin' Women by Stephen Vincent Benet. Lyrics by Johnny Mercer. Music by Gene DePaul. Musical direction, Adolf Deutsch. Musical supervision, Saul Chaplin. Dances and musical numbers staged by Michael Kidd. Color by Ansco. Director of photography, George Foley, ASC. Orchestrations, Alexander Courage, Conrad Salinger, and Leo Arnault. Produced by Jack Cummings. Directed by Stanley Donen. Now, the red-bearded man steers his wagon on a dusty cliffside road. Words appear. Oregon Territory, 1850. Later in a town, two-story wooden buildings line a main dirt road. Townspeople on foot and horseback filled the street. The red-headed man, wearing fringed leather hunting garb, pulls his wagon to a stop. He throws a bundle of fur pelts on the ground and hops down. As a woman in a bonnet passes, he ogles her. The man enters a building. A sign above the front porch reads, General Store, Fred Bixby. Inside, a plump older woman weighs the fur pelts.
That's a little over 10 pounds.
How much are beaver worth this year?
$6 a pound.
Well, I'll trade you for a new plow, 2 tubs of lard, barrel of molasses, 25 pounds of chewing tobacco, and you wouldn't have a wife under the counter there. I'm looking for a wife.
Any special brand?
Well, yes. I'd like best a widow woman that ain't afraid to work. There's 7 of us men, me and my 6 brothers. Place like a pigsty. The food tastes worse. So I made up my mind. Next time I come into town to trade, I'm going to bring me back a wife.
Well, that's a fine thing, I must say. Thinking you could come here and trade for a wife like she was a bag of meal.
Oh, no, ma'am. I wouldn't say that, ma'am.
Well, let me tell you, none of our gals is going to go off to Bear Country with you to cook and wash and slave for 7 slummocky backwoodsmen.
There's 10 men for every woman out here. You want a wife, you'll have to go back east and get one.
You mean there's no unmarried females in this town?
4 young women enter.
Morning,
morning,
Mrs. Bixby.
Hello, Mrs. Bixby.
We're having a quilting bee.
We thought you might have some odds and ends.
I'll see.
How about these?
Now, just a minute.
What's the matter? They married?
They're spoken for.
Oh, just spoken for. You had me scared.
I tell you, they're promised.
Oh, lady can change her mind, can't she?
He looks the girls over.
Pay him no mind, girls. Fred, put his things in the wagon. Don't keep him waiting.
Oh, I'm in no hurry. I got all afternoon.
Yeah, well, you're wasting your time. You won't find a girl in this town to marry you.
Never set my mind to something yet for what I got. Whether it's plowing 20 acres in a day or dropping a tree within an inch of where I want it. I'm here today to get me a wife. I don't need to go back home empty-handed. Well, you're all pretty and fresh and young. I'll keep you in mind. But I ain't deciding on nothing till I look them all over.
The backwoodsman leaves and the girls watch him. Out on the sunny porch, the man looks around.
Bless your beautiful hide, wherever you may be. We ain't met yet, but I'm willing to bet you're the gal for me.
He approaches a woman gathering eggs.
Morning, ma'am.
Morning.
He moves on.
Bless your beautiful hide. You're just as good as lost. I don't know your name, but I'm mistaken. My claim lest your eyes is crossed.
He comes up behind a pretty-faced woman. It's a mannequin.
Oh, I'd swap my gun and I'd swap my mule. Though whoever took it would be one pig fool.
Mr. Bixby loads the wagon.
Thanks, Adam.
or pay your way through cooking school. If in you would say I do.
Morning, ma'am.
Morning, backwoodsman.
Nice day for marrying.
That's a right good idea.
Oh, Lem, I thought you'd never ask me.
Bless your beautiful hide. Prepare to bend your knee. And take that vow, cause I'm a-telling you now, you're the gal for me.
He spots a thin woman, then a plump one.
Pretty and trim, but kind of slim. Heavenly eyes, but oh, that size. She's gotta be right to be the bride for me. Bless your beautiful hide, wherever you maybe.
The backwoodsman spots a young woman with blonde curls. She chops wood. As he moves closer, a balding man comes out of the log building behind her.
Mac, where are you? A dozen men in here, bellowing for victuals, and you out chopping wood.
The burly backwoodsman watches with interest as Millie collects the logs and heads inside. He strolls to the front of the building. A sign reads, Bar.
Pretty and trim, but not too slim. Heavenly eyes and just the right size. Simple and sweet.
In the window, Millie shoves a man.
And sassy as can be. Bless her beautiful hide. Yes, she's the girl for me.
He nods decidedly and heads into the bar. A dozen men sit restlessly at tables.
Millie, let's eat.
Yeah, let's eat. Come on, I'm dying of hunger.
You ought to eat now. Don't be fretting. Just give me time.
Nobody can cook like Millie. Huh?
Millie serves them.
When are you going to marry me, Millie?
Oh, next week, Sam.
Oh, she's going to marry me, ain't you, Millie?
The bartender looks at the backwoodsman.
Anything you'd like? Could be. First, I think I better sample that cooking.
The backwoodsman takes a seat at a long table. Millie's gaze fixes on him, and she ladles stew into another man's lap.
Oh, Harry! Oh, I am sorry.
Ah, that's all right, Millie.
Awfully sorry.
Millie serves the backwoodsman from the large bowl of stew.
That smells good enough to eat.
Tastes good, too, so they tell me.
Got any ketchup handy?
My stew can stand on its own feet.
Their gazes lock for a moment, then he takes a bite.
Good?
Good.
As Millie moves on and serves the next customer, she eyes the backwoodsman with a faint smile. He eats happily and turns his gaze to her. Later, Millie looks off dreamily as she milks a cow. The backwoodsman approaches.
My name's Adam Ponnaby.
Odd name, I must say.
I live up the mountain. I got a farm up there.
Have you?
Good farm and a house on it. There's timberland, high grazing meadows, sheep, milk, cows, 50 acres of wheat. Only thing it ain't got, ain't got a woman. How about it?
How about what?
I just told you. How about marrying me?
Millie looks away from Adam, then quickly goes back to milking.
Oh, I know. It's kind of short notice. Back east, we would have met of a Sunday at even church. 6 months later, I would have asked you, could I walk you home? Next 2 or 3 years, I would have sat in your front parlor every Wednesday night. And finally, I would ask your father, could I marry you? But here, there's not time. I got to be home tonight to tend to my stock. It'll be another 5 months before I get down again with my grain. You're going to keep me waiting all that 5 months? Just for your pride?
Millie casts her eyes downward, her brow furrowed.
I'd have to finish my chores.
I knew it the minute I set eyes on you. You were the gal for me. I'll go get cleaned up a bit and root out the preacher.
Millie watches Adam rush off. Her light blonde hair frames her smooth face, and her red lips curl into a smile. Later, Adam enters a bathhouse. He examines his bearded face in a mirror, picks up a pair of scissors, and starts to trim. Later, he finishes shaving off the last of his beard, leaving a thin mustache. Adam gives his reflection a pleased smile, then turns to the proprietor.
Where's the preacher's house?
Down the street, next to the church.
Thanks, Pop.
She's the gal for me.
the Reverend's house.
Now, say it plain, Millie, into your face. I don't like this marriage.
Oh, Reverend.
But I don't know you or anything about you, and I feel responsible. Millie's like a daughter to us. We're her only family.
But, Reverend, ever since I came here, you've been after me to marry. A girl had no right to stay single, you said. The country needed to be settled.
We meant you to marry one of our young men, Millie. You had your pick with them.
I tried. Again and again I tried. I'd say yes to one of them, and then an awful sinking feeling would strike me right here, and I couldn't do it.
She admires Adam.
When I said yes to him, I waited for that feeling, but it didn't come. I feel just fine. I feel so good I could cry.
Oh, I think it's wonderful, love at first sight.
Alice, what kind of talk is that?
You're determined, Millie?
Yes, Reverend.
Then step forward.
Side by side, Adam and Millie face the Reverend.
Take her hand in yours. Repeat after me. I, Adam Pontopi.
I, Adam Pontopi.
Take this woman to be my lawfully wedded wife.
Take this woman to be my lawfully wedded wife.
Now the bartender places a sign in his window. Cook wanted. He stands on the porch with two customers. One fellow waves to Adam and Millie, who ride by in the wagon.
Where's she going?
Never did like them pot of peas. Now I know why.
In front of the general store, Mr. Bixby gapes at the sight of Millie riding next to Adam.
Oh! Oh! He got her! He got a wife!
Mrs. Bixby rushes out.
It's Millie. It's indecent, if you ask me. One lone woman with seven scroungy backwoodsmen.
Mrs. Bixby shakes her head as she watches the wagon head out of town. Later, Adam's wagon rolls along the dusty cliffside road. Beside him, Millie wears a blue bonnet. She sits admiring her wedding ring.
Bless your beautiful hide wherever.
Guess I'm not much of a bride with only this for an outfit.
Well, you find a trunk in the attic belonged to my mother. There's things there if you're handy with a needle.
I'd like that. I'd like to be wearing something that belonged to your mother. My mother left me these. They're packets of seeds for a flower garden she meant to plant out here. Mm. My father left me these.
Two books.
Plutarch's Lives and the Bible. Yeah. He taught me to read by them. Hope that maybe someday I can teach her.
She looks away demurely.
How far is it up to the farm?
About 12 miles.
Imagine. On my way to my own home. I feel so wonderful I could yell.
Go ahead.
Hooray!
Let that go past. It ain't safe to raise your voice in the winter.
Might start an avalanche.
I cussed my horse too loud one February, and we got snowed in till spring.
Most people think that'd be pretty lonely. But I can stand some loneliness after the inn.
Yeah. I think I better water the horses.
Adam stops the wagon by a creek. He hops down, then reaches up and helps Millie off her seat. Her petite frame comes up to Adam's chest. With a broad smile, Millie rushes off and kneels down in a grassy clearing. Adam follows after her. Millie glances up at him as she picks wild herbs from the ground.
My wedding bouquet.
Sorrel?
Makes real nursing soup. Always back at the inn when I'd hear all the men yelling and screaming for their dinners, I'd think how wonderful it would be to cook and care for one man. Just one man. Now that it's happened, I can't hardly believe it's true.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling dong, were the steeple bells ever quite as gay? Wonderful, wonderful day.
Billy strolls around the breezy clearing.
Bluebirds in the bluebells sing a song to send me along my way. Wonderful, wonderful day.
She holds on to a young birch tree and leans back.
Oh, I've got to own up, I'm as grown up as can be. Seems I've gone and flown up to a bright fairy, fairy, fairy land. And so you'll forgive
races up a small hill, her arms outstretched.
Big clouds floating lazy like a daisy in the sky. Big things to be doing by and by. Growing, slowing, growing things. Take love for my darling as we share whatever may come our way. Beautiful, glorious, heavenly, marvelous, wonderful, wonderful.
Later, the wagon rolls past a crystal blue lake which reflects the gray mountains in the distance. Later still, the wagon moves past a barn and pulls to a stop beside a log cabin with a covered porch. Adam lets down the horse's reins and hops off the wagon. Holding Millie's waist, he lifts her to the ground. As Millie gazes around the farm, a lanky man with a red beard approaches.
Oh, this is my brother Caleb.
How are you, Brother Caleb?
It's my wife, Millie.
Your wife? Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Hey, Eve, Dan! He done it! He got married!
Two more red-headed men run over.
This is my brother's Ephraim and Daniel.
How are you, Brother Ephraim, Brother Daniel?
She looks back and forth between the two bearded men.
Which one is Ephraim and which is Daniel?
Me.
And this here's Benjamin.
A fourth brother approaches.
How are you, Brother Benjamin? You didn't tell me you had brothers.
Well, it must have been the wedding threw it out of my mind.
As Adam unloads Millie's bag, she glances at the four brothers.
You all live around here?
Not around. Here.
Caleb points to the house, and Millie's gaze drops. She looks to Adam as she fidgets with the modest bouquet of sorrel in her hand.
I guess I should have picked some more sorrel.
This is the house.
As Millie follows Adam, he tosses his hat on the ground. Inside, Millie surveys a large, cluttered living room with a hearth. Adam shoos a chicken off a table. As he puts down Millie's bag, a poof of dust rises from the surface.
Hi. Nice big room.
Well, it might need redding up a bit, but not that you're here.
Adam kicks a man in a chair.
Oh, wake up. Wake up and meet your sister-in-law. This is Frank.
A sixth brother appears.
How are you, Brother Frank?
And this here is Gideon. You can drop that spoon. We're going to have some human cooking around here for a change now that she's here.
Are there any more?
No. Gideon's the last born.
Ephraim puts his feet up on Millie's bag.
It'll take me a little while to put the right name with the right brother.
Well, just remember your ABCs. Adam, Benjamin, Caleb, Daniel, Ethan, Frank, and Gideon.
They're fine sounding names. Yeah. Bible names.
Well, that was Ma's idea. ABCs, that was Pa's, so we could keep track of us. He was figuring on using the whole 26 letters right down to Zachariah, but he got to look at Gideon here and went out and chopped a tree down himself.
Gideon kicks Frank.
There's one of the names in the Bible I don't seem to remember. Frank. Is Frank a Bible name?
Oh, that ain't his real name, is it, Frank? We just call him that for short. His real name is Frank.
Frank wrestles Benjamin.
You pay him no mind. I'll show you around. Come over here now. Up here is the bedroom.
Can't you stop him?
Oh, you get used to that. Like I was saying.
Well, what happened? Was it something I said?
Oh, no. Frank's just touched you by his name, that's all.
There was no F names in the Bible, so Ma named him Frankincense. Because he smells so sweet.
Frank punches Caleb.
Like I was telling you, upstairs the bedroom. Down there is where the boys bunk. You follow me, I'll show you the rest.
As Frank fights Caleb and Benjamin, Millie and the others follow Adam into another room.
This is the washroom. Me and the boys are kind of hard and clothes, so there'll be a lot of washing and mending, but now that
I'm here.
Adam shifts uncomfortably.
This is the kitchen.
The three fighting brothers barge in. Benjamin stands on the table as he swings at Frank. Millie studies the ransacked kitchen.
You find wood down the path there, and the water's right outside the front door. There's the dinner bell, so ring it loud when you get supper ready.
Adam marches out. Millie slowly steps further into the messy kitchen, clutching her books and the bouquet to her chest. Her sad blue eyes survey the littered table as she sets down a few of her things on a bench. Millie's gaze settles on her books. She rolls up her sleeves and starts to gather the pots and pans that lie scattered upon the table. Later, Millie rings a large triangle with a serving spoon. Behind her, Adam's six brothers barrel into the kitchen. As they sit at the table, three on each side, the men grab at the food, spilling it. Benjamin reaches across the table, and Millie slaps his hand with her spoon.
What'd you do that for?
You. All of you falling on the food that way. Haven't you any decency to wait for grace?
Huh? Ah.
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Trouble.
Look at your brothers.
The noodles must be good.
Adam sits and heaps food onto his plate.
All right. If you're gonna act like hogs, you're gonna eat like hogs.
Millie tips the table over, knocking the food and three of the brothers to the floor. The others laugh as Millie storms out. Upstairs, Millie bursts into a bedroom and clasps her hands together. Her gaze turns to her Bible. She reads from it.
Neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Millie looks up from the Bible with a determined gaze. She closes the bedroom door and leans against it. Later in the living room, a clock on the mantel reads 9 o'clock. The seven Pontopi brothers lounge by the large stone fireplace. Daniel whittles, Benjamin strums a guitar, Frank cleans his rifle, and Adam smokes a pipe. Caleb finds a piece of food in the folds of his shirt and eats it. Benjamin sighs restlessly and exchanges a glance with Caleb. As Gideon nods off, Ephraim nudges him, then points toward Adam. They both grin. As Adam puffs on his pipe, all of his brothers eye him.
It's about time for you boys to turn in, eh? A big day of plowing ahead tomorrow.
The brothers continue with their pastimes.
It's 9 o'clock already. Hour past your bedtime.
Yours too.
Gideon snickers. Adam stretches and gets up.
Well, I'm getting a mite sleepy at that.
As Adam knocks tobacco from his pipe, he gazes up at the ceiling. His brothers watch him with great interest as he tosses the pipe and heads up. On the upstairs landing, Adam pauses, then knocks on the bedroom door.
Who is it?
It's Adam, your husband.
Come in, Adam.
Downstairs, Adam's brothers grin and lean back. Adam gives a confident nod.
Night, boys.
Adam enters the bedroom and sees Millie sitting in a rocking chair. She stares ahead as she rocks. Adam scratches his head nervously.
I thought you'd be in bed.
Did you?
It's been a right busy day. You must be kind of tuckered out.
That's right.
Shall I, turn down the covers?
Can if you like. But I'm not going to bed. You don't want a wife, Adam. You want a cook, a washerwoman, a hired girl. Well, a hired girl's got a right to a sleeping place of her own.
Well, reckon that's so, Millie.
All the way up in the wagon, you let me talk. Make a fool of myself talking about you and me. Oh, you should have stopped me.
Millie gets up and turns her back to him.
Maybe I should. But it sounded real pretty. Besides, if I'd have told you beforehand, you might not have married me. And I wanted you to marry me, Millie. I wanted it real bad.
Sure you did. Because you knew I was young and strong and there was lots of work in me.
Well, that's partly true. It's a hard life out here in the forest and wilderness. There's trees waiting to be felled, land waiting to be plowed and fenced, stock to be fed. Man wants a wife who can work alongside of him.
Adam steps close to Millie from behind.
Of course, if she's got eyes that are bluer than cornflowers, and hair the color of wheat in the sunshine, he counts himself real fortunate.
Millie's gaze softens.
I'll work alongside you, Adam.
Adam starts to undress.
But I'm not sleeping alongside you.
Adam faces Millie again, frowning. He leaves the bedroom, closing the door behind him. On the landing, Adam's brothers step from their bedroom door and stare at him.
She wants a drink of water. She's thirsty.
The brothers' gazes follow Adam down the stairs. Adam disappears into the kitchen, then reappears with a small pitcher. As he stomps upstairs, his brothers stay gathered on the landing, watching him. Adam walks into the bedroom. Millie's in her slip. She quickly covers herself.
Have a drink.
Adam sets down the pitcher and strides to the window. He climbs out of the window and sits on a tree branch. Millie looks out at him.
What are you doing?
Bedding down for the night. Don't want the birds seeing it.
Somehow it just don't seem fitting for a bridegroom to spend his wedding night in a tree.
It's your idea, not mine.
I guess I was pretty mad at him. I built up such a store of dreams. Dreams about love and marriage and such.
When you're in love, when you're in love, there is no way on earth to hide it. When you're in love, really in love, you simply let your heart decide.
It is with your brothers, you being the head of the house and all. I wouldn't want you to lose face. Well, all things considered, maybe you'd better come back in.
Millie moves away from the window. As Adam climbs inside, he loses his balance and falls on the bed. It collapses. In the other bedroom, the brothers flinch, then grin slyly at each other. Benjamin playfully kicks Gideon. Now, the sun sits just above the mountains behind the farm. In the brothers' bedroom, Frank sleeps in his bed wearing red long johns. His eyes blink open.
Bacon. Fresh made coffee.
Hot bread. It's Millie cooking.
Caleb draws in a big breath.
Adam must have told her what was what.
Oh, it sure smells good. I'm hungry.
I feel like I haven't eaten for years.
The brothers search around the room.
Where's my pants? Where's my shirt and pants?
I'm looking for my own.
Who did it? Who hid them on me?
All I've got's my boots.
Good morning, my brothers.
Millie stands at the door.
If you're looking for your outside clothes, they're hanging up, drying on the line. I came in before and got them. I couldn't get your inside clothes, so I'll take them now.
Our underwear?
Your winter underwear that you're sleeping in.
They glance down at their long johns.
You might as well hand them over because you're not going to get your clothes or food or nothing till you get all cleaned up and shaved.
They look at each other wide-eyed.
Where's Adam? We want to talk to Adam.
He's out plowing. He had his breakfast over a half an hour ago. I got hot muffins waiting. Crisp bacon, hot cakes, steak, fried potatoes, fresh ground coffee.
Millie puts her hands on her hips.
Now, do I get that winter underwear? Do I have to come in and take it off you?
Gideon starts to undress.
Don't listen to her. She wouldn't dare.
Oh, wouldn't I?
Millie opens the door and the brothers push it closed on her.
All right, you get it.
Millie marches off with a satisfied smile. Inside, the brothers head further into the room as they unbutton their long johns. Gideon struggles with his buttons and yanks at the fabric. Later, Millie takes a coffee pot off the stove. She carries it to the table, where five of the brothers sit clean-shaven and wrapped in blankets.
I didn't know last night I'd married into such a handsome family. You know, you're mighty good-looking boys. We are, every last one of you. What you been doing going around hiding behind those whiskers? Afraid some girl will see you and run off with you?
Caleb enters, his bare legs showing under his short blanket.
Well, I've never seen you at the dances or at the corn huskings and at harvest time. Don't you like girls?
I ain't never hardly ever seen one.
Well, you got a big sister now that's going to see what you do.
Benjamin reaches for a plate of steak. Millie eyes him and he withdraws his hand.
You want to eat?
She sits down at the head of the table.
Well.
She glances at the six young men, then folds her hands and bows her head.
O Lord, thou hast brought us through desert, mountain, and wilderness to a good land, a land of wheat and game where we need never hunger. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy loving care and thy bounty. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ephraim hands Daniel a plate of scrambled eggs.
Frank?
After you.
Benjamin clutches his blanket around his chest and hands Daniel some steak.
Thank you.
Later, Millie heads out of the house with an empty basket. Gideon spots her getting into the wagon.
Where are you going, Millie?
I've got to go to town, Gideon. The flour barrel's getting low and I've worn a broom and a scrub brush clear through.
I'd better go along and help you tote them.
Oh, all
what's
right.
Going on? Millie and he's going to town.
Oh, reckon I'll go along. Help drive the horses.
I'll drive.
Caleb jumps in the back as Gideon starts to drive off.
Hey, Millie's going to town. Hey, let's go with him.
Four more of the brothers hop in the back with Caleb. Later in town, Gideon stops the wagon in front of the Bixby's General Store.
Whoa.
Gideon gets down and helps Millie off the wagon.
You boys sat here and wait. Gideon will help me. And don't forget, mind your manners.
Daniel points down the street.
Hey, look. Girls.
The boys stare at three young women heading for the store. Benjamin nudges Ephraim.
Quick, say something.
Ephraim jumps in front of the girls.
Care for a chore of tobacco?
Hey, what's going on?
That oaf insulted us.
Oh, no such thing. All he did was offer him a job. Well, it's dang good tobacco.
But it is, huh?
The townsman hits the tobacco out of Ephraim's hand and Benjamin punches him. Two more townsmen attack Benjamin. Caleb, Frank, and Daniel look on, grinning. From inside the store, Gideon spots the brawl.
Hey, it's us!
Benjamin punches one of the men through the store window. Mrs. Bixby gapes.
My window!
Millie rushes outside.
Stop it this minute!
She looks to Frank.
Don't just stand there, do something!
What for? There's only three little ones.
Millie grabs Benjamin's vest.
Stop it, do you hear?
He ducks a punch, then delivers one, leaving his attacker slung over a hitching post. He does the same to the two others, then smiles at Millie.
It stopped.
You get in that wagon. Get!
Millie pushes him toward the wagon and scowls. Later, in the tidy cabin, the family does their chores.
What did I do wrong, Millie?
Well, first off, if you want to get a girl, you got to learn how to talk to her. I'll show you.
Millie holds a pine branch like a bouquet.
You meet me coming out of church. You raise your hat.
All but Caleb doff imaginary hats.
Well, what's the matter, Caleb?
My hair ain't combed.
Well, next you gotta say something nice. Gideon, say something nice.
Nice night for a coon hunt.
Adam doubles over.
You get out of here, get.
You're beating your head against a stone wall, Millie. You'll never make Jackie Dandies out of them.
You pay him no mind because you're all gonna be just fine. Besides, it's a whole month before the barn raising and the picnic. But there's one thing you gotta remember. You're gonna have a lot of competition. Because every one of those girls down there has 5 or 10 fellas buzzing around her.
We'll clean them out first thing. Yeah, the whole lot of them.
Oh, no, that's one thing you mustn't do. If they want to act like a pack of hyenas, let them. You've gotta be above such things. You've gotta act gentlemanly and well-spoken. And show the girls that you have some etiquette.
At a what?
Like I showed you at the table. When you meet a girl, don't grab her like she was a flapjack. Hold off for a while. Offer her your arm. When you've got her alone, steal your arm around her. You gotta court a girl to get her. You gotta call her my darling, my dear, my precious, my pet.
Going courting, oh, it sets your senses in a whirl. Going courting, dudin' up to go and see a girl. Oh, it's fun to hunt and shoot a gun, or to catch a rabbit on the run. But you'll find it's twice as sportin' going courting.
Caleb offers Millie his arm and takes her across the room.
Is this what you mean?
What I mean.
Now there's lots of things you gotta know. Be sure the parlor light is low. You sidle up and squeeze her hand. Let me tell you, fellas, that it's grand. You hem and haw a little while. She gives you kind of half a smile. You cuddle up, she moves away. Then the strategy comes into play.
Millie pushes Frank into a pitchfork and he throws his arms around her.
See what I mean?
Going courting, if you find it hard to break the ice. Going courting, here's a little thimble nine advice. Roll your eyes and heave a little sigh. Grunt and groan like you're about to die. That is what's known as emoting, going courting.
How about sparking?
Parlor sparking?
Yeah.
And you're longing for a fond embrace.
Uh-huh.
What about petting and sofa setting?
Suppose she ups and slaps your face.
Yeah.
Just remember, blessed are the meek. Don't forget to turn the other cheek. Pretty soon you'll both be larking, going sparking, going dancing.
Going dancing
at a fancy ball or minuet.
May I?
Millie takes Caleb's
going
hand.
Going dancing, you'll impress them with your etiquette.
Now you two try. Come on.
Frank takes Millie's place and dances with Caleb.
You mean men will learn how to dance?
Uh-huh. Yes, it came direct from Paris, France. It will help with your romancing. Going dancing.
Come on now, you follow us.
Millie dances with Gideon.
Turn.
Ephraim and Daniel dance together, and Frank and Caleb partner up. They follow Millie's lead.
Come on, this way.
The three couples hop around as Benjamin watches, keeping time by slapping his knee.
To the left. Make a turn. Now weave in and out.
Benjamin joins in. Millie and the brothers hold and release hands as they weave past each other. Frank dances with Millie, then Caleb lifts her. Frank jealously goes to punch Caleb. Daniel takes Millie for a dance. Frank and Caleb shrug, and they dance together. As Gideon tries to cut in, Frank pushes him to the side. Frank and Caleb hold Millie up and stomp their feet. Gideon tries to cut in again. Ephraim pushes him to the side and lifts Millie. Now Gideon lets out a testy roar, and he dances with Millie. The brothers stomp in time. Gideon lets go of Millie, clicks his heels in the air, and falls to the ground.
Keep your dancing and hunting and shooting and fighting and driving.
The brothers strike a pose around Millie. Later, they line up. Each wears a different brightly colored shirt and a cowboy hat. Millie examines their fingers.
Cleanest fingernails I ever saw. What happened to your thumb, Gideon?
Oh, I soaked it in lye. Took off in the dirt, all right, but dang near took off a nail with it.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. All of you. Now, just remember one thing. Mind your manners and be real gentlefolk. And no fighting, no matter what happens.
Adam enters.
Holding you up. We're going to go to a barn race and let's go.
Come on.
Later in their wagon, the Pontipes arrive at a farm bustling with townspeople. Six girls and their finely dressed suitors watch them.
Who are they? I don't recall ever seeing them before.
They're strangers to me.
Seven of them.
And all as tall as church steeples.
It's Millie, Millie!
Where are you going?
To see Millie.
I just love Millie.
As the girls rush to the wagon, the townsmen glare.
Looks like them Ponape brothers.
I make some things for the collation, pies and such.
You?
Oh, we'll take them over.
I'd be pleasured if you'd allow me.
Benjamin tips his hat.
Thanks.
He takes a bowl of bread from the pretty brunette Dorcas and offers his arm. Adam looks questioningly at Millie.
We'll all
help carry
them. I couldn't let a little lady like you heft that.
Frank takes a jug and leaves with the girl Sarah. Two more girls, Martha and Liza, approach.
Can we help?
Please. Allow me.
Ephraim and Daniel head off with him. As a fifth girl, Ruth, holds out her hands, Caleb hops down and takes a cake for her.
If you'll just follow me.
To the ends of the earth.
Ruth looks wide-eyed at Caleb as he offers his arm. Alice, the preacher's daughter, approaches.
Afraid that's all.
She stares at Gideon and holds out her hands.
I'm sorry. That's all.
Alice puts down her hands. Gideon lifts his hat.
May I escort you back?
She nods.
You know, you're the prettiest girl I ever acquainted.
Gideon heads off with Alice, leaving Adam and Millie alone. Adam bows.
May I escort you to the ball, ma'am?
Well, it wouldn't hurt you to learn some manners, too.
What I ain't manners for? Already got me a wife.
He helps her down. Later, a man hammers an anvil.
Hey, come on, everybody. Get your partners. There's going to be dancing.
The suitors in coats and ties pull the girls away from the brothers and walk them to a wooden foundation used as the dance floor. The Potopy brothers look on with disappointment. Frank motions to his brothers with a determined nod. The girls and their suitors line up facing each other. The brothers gather behind the girls' line as the dancers bounce. The women hold out their skirts as they walk forward and meet the suitors' line in the center. They walk back and forward again. Each steps around their partner in a do-si-do. As the girls bounce in place, they look back at the brothers. Liza waves to Caleb. The suitors hook arms with the girls and parade with lively steps. As they walk back, Gideon hooks his arm in Alice's. Her suitor pulls her into dance position and all the couples do a lively jig in unison. They separate back into their lines. The men bow and the ladies curtsy. As the suitors step toward the girls, Frank and Caleb take Martha and Liza into their arms. Mirroring each other, the partners point their toes across to one side, then the other. The two suitors take the girls back and rejoin the original dance line. As the suitors spin the girls out, Caleb, Frank, and Daniel steal three of the girls away. Each partner faces forward and tilts at the waist. Then they reunite in dance position. Gideon, Ephraim, and Benjamin take the remaining three girls from their suitors. The partnered-up brothers dance in a large circle around the suitors. As the couple separate, the suitors jump in and take up the dance where the brothers left off. The brothers form a huddle in the center of the floor. With determined gazes, they break and approach the circle. As the dancers whirl by, the brothers attempt to take the girls. Unsuccessful, the Potopies come back to their huddle and ready for a fight. Adam watches them. Millie rushes onto the dance floor and pushes Frank back, causing the others to back up as well. Millie unites with Frank in dance position. Frank dips to one knee as Millie twirls, then he lifts her. She spins horizontally in the air and he catches her. They hop lightly across the floor, then bow to each other. Millie pushes Daniel and Gideon out onto the floor. Martha and Liza hop forward. The two young men spot them and each does a cartwheel. The girls spin and jump into their arms. The men lift them by their waists. Now Ephraim, Frank, and Caleb cartwheel to the middle of the floor. In unison, they do twirling jumps, then a handstand. Sarah, Alice, and Ruth leap into their arms. The men spin them, lift them to one side, then the other. As they move off, three suitors dance out onto the floor. Ruth, Martha, and Liza step out to join them. The suitors do a lively jig and freeze in a courtly bow to the ladies. Frank, Caleb, and Dan leapfrog over the suitors and take the girls for another spin. The three men gracefully jump onto a picnic table, pivot on one foot, and leap off. Then they lift the girls onto the table. The girls' legs fan overhead as the boys lift them off.
Hey!
Nearby, two suitors dance on the edge of a water well. The three brothers and their girls watch them. The suitors jump off. Frank and Dan wink at each other. Frank stands on a horizontal log suspended above the well. Dan turns a crank and the log spins. Frank runs and plays backwards as the log spins faster. He jumps to the edge of the well and does a handless cartwheel to the ground. Now a suitor jumps on a long, narrow plank resting on two sawhorses. As he does one-legged jumps, the board bounces. He jumps off. Caleb gets on and swings his arms as he quickly steps from one foot to the other. A suitor gets on facing him and copies Caleb's movements. He falls off. Two more suitors try and fail. Caleb does high jumping spread eagles, then leaps off the springy plank. Now another suitor jumps on with an axe. The man hops, passing the axe under his feet. He wobbles each time he lands. Gideon leaps up behind him and grabs the axe. He jumps backward and forward over the axe, keeping perfect balance, then tosses it. It lodges in a tree stump. Now Gideon, Caleb, and Dan do somersaults. They partner up with three girls and dance energetically in front of the farmhouse. Three suitors jump off the porch roof, dance the girls away, and lift them onto the plank. Three brothers deftly skid under the plank and intercept the girls. Now all six brothers and their girls dance by the suitors. As Dan passes, he bumps into one of them. The two men glare and hold up their fists. Dan relaxes and offers the suitor his hand. The suitor jumps onto two parallel planks. Dan joins him.
Take him, Dan!
Facing each other, they arm wrestle with their right hands. The suitor pushes Dan off, and Caleb takes his brother's place. The two men lock hands tightly, and the suitor pulls Caleb off. Frank jumps up. Frank grips the suitor's hand and gnashes his teeth. Frank pushes the man, nearly bending him over backwards. The suitor pushes toward Frank, who leans all the way back. With one big push, Frank shoves the suitor off. Another suitor takes his place. With a dancing kick, he and Frank switch sides and Frank forces him off. A third hops on. Frank forces him off. A fourth suitor tries and Frank throws him off. Frank now disposes of the last suitor and Caleb hops on the plank to shake his hand. Frank gapes. He and his brother face each other and kick their legs out behind them. They motion for Dan and Ephraim to join them. All four do dancing kicks on the parallel planks. As they jump off, Gideon gets on. He springs forward and back from his hands to his feet. Steadying himself, he does a backflip. Each of his feet lands squarely on a plank. Then he leaps off. Frank jumps on. Balancing on one board, he does handless cartwheels. With a wide grin, he proudly flourishes his arms. Now he and three brothers lift four girls onto the planks. The suitors take them off from the other side. On the floor, all six girls join with their suitors. Each couple does an athletic polka-like dance. The brothers line up sternly on the edge of the dance floor. The girls bow to the suitors, then jump into the brothers' arms. Later, a man stands on a ladder before the townspeople.
Neighbors! Neighbors, may I have your attention? All you folk that have come from far and wide. Henry here wants me to thank you men for coming to help him raise his barn.
Thanks, folks.
And he thanks the ladies for all the fancy victuals they brought. Now, since the barn's got four sides, there's going to be four teams. The team that gets their side up first wins the little heifer. Henry, show him Annabelle.
Henry picks up a small calf. Millie faces Adam.
Adam, we could use her on the farm.
How about it, boys?
His brothers nod.
Mr. Perkins, you can put the seven of us brothers down for one team. Millie says she's taking a fancy to Annabelle.
You hear, boys? That was Adam Potipe. Last time he came to town, he bragged how he always got what he set out to get. And danged if he didn't. He's a hard one to beat, I'm warning you.
Don't worry.
We'll handle him.
That's the spirit.
We got a team all set up here, Pete.
And here's your fourth, Pete.
That's fine. Now, got your hammers and all?
Yeah!
Then take your positions. The sooner you raise the barn, the sooner you get the victuals.
The girls shake the brothers' hands. The Pontipes, the suitors, and two other teams each take a side of the foundation.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
Let's go!
Each team starts to lift a wall frame off the ground. On the Pontipes side, Dan, Caleb, and Frank use long poles to prop up the wall as the others hold it. Millie and the girls cheer. The brothers' wall stands straight as the other teams still work at propping up theirs. Henry watches the construction with a wide grin. Inside the structure, Gideon and one of the suitors hammer a support beam. The suitor whacks Gideon's hand. Adam watches as Gideon and the suitor glare.
My fault, sorry. I guess I shouldn't have my hand there.
What happened?
Nothing.
Caleb climbs a ladder.
Hey, Caleb, get that board up there.
A suitor hits his foot with a hammer.
Now what happened?
Caleb glares at the man.
Oh, I stubbed my big toe.
Come on, let's get going. Hey, Frank, get those sideboards up here.
A suitor whacks Frank in the head with a board.
Hurt yourself, frankincense?
Frank jumps up to face the man, then turns away with tight lips.
Well, come on, let's go. What's the matter you boys today?
Just a little dizzy spell.
On the barn frame, a suitor drops his hammer on Benjamin's head. As Adam lunges for the man, the brothers stop him.
Hold it! Take it easy!
He didn't drop that hammer. He threw it. I saw him.
Come on. We don't want no fight.
I promise, Millie.
We're going to keep it calm, so don't start anything. Come on, we're way behind now.
She's made you into a bunch of mama's boys. They're out to murder you, and what do you do? Apologize for living. You're a disgrace to the Ponape name. You're a bunch of lily-livered, chicken-hearted lick-spittles.
A plank hits Ephraim and Dan in the head.
Serves you right. I hope they break your neck.
The brothers get back to work. Later, three sides of the barn are almost finished. The brothers work on their half-covered wall. As Henry smiles at the progress, Adam climbs up to the roof frame.
Come on, get in there!
A suitor hits Adam's chest with a plank. As Adam falls, the girls look over.
What are you doing that for? He ain't done nothing.
Gideon slugs the man, who punches back. As Gideon hangs upside down from a roof beam, Adam smiles. The eldest brother decks two suitors, sees another swing at Gideon, then belts the attacker. Adam helps Gideon down, then throws the suitor out. On the roof, Frank punches a guy in the gut, then ducks another man's punch. Caleb and Benjamin join the brawl. Caleb dodges a guy swinging a plank. Outside, Ephraim gets punched through the open wall. He and Dan throw the offender out. As they climb in, Ephraim gets hit by a man on a ladder. Ephraim kicks him off, and he and Dan enter. They throw a man fighting Gideon into a post. Gideon, Frank, and Ben brawl. One suitor gets knocked back into a tall plank. It tilts and leans against a roof beam. Frank slugs a man who slides down the angled plank and crashes into another guy. Now three woozy suitors stagger by the wall. Adam ducks as a fourth man dives at him. All four smash through the wood siding. Meanwhile, two brothers push a man under a fold-up ladder and squeeze it together. Mr. Perkins runs into the barn. Perkins gets bounced around as the fight rages on. He gets hit with a piece of wood, then trips out of the barn, falling into a bunch of chickens. Adam and two brothers use a plank to push seven men out of the barn. Gideon tumbles out a window frame. He tries to climb back in, but gets kicked out. Millie and the girl stare uneasily at the rumble. Gideon tries another window frame and gets pushed out by a man brandishing a hammer. The youngest brother climbs up a rope to the barn roof. He rushes to a gap between roof beams and jumps down on top of three men. Adam slugs a man into a support post, which falls. Benjamin pushes a ladder over with a man standing on it, then ducks a crate that smashes into the wall. In a corner, men fall against a wall, which starts to lean. As another wooden support gives, all four walls fall outward. Amid the jumble of timbers, the Ponapees are left standing, surrounded by unconscious men. The townsfolk rush to the ruined barn and pull men from under the lumber. Millie looks on tearfully. Later in the Ponapee kitchen, Caleb soaks his hand in a wash basin as Millie tends to the brother's wounds. She looks at Caleb's face.
Witch hazel.
Benjamin hands her a bottle.
Split lip.
She dabs some of the clear liquid on Caleb. He flinches.
Don't smile for a few days. Next.
Dan and Ephraim each have a black eye.
Two beefsteak. Frank?
He grimaces.
Kick in the pants.
Next.
Loose tooth and swelled up knuckles.
So when do you have any teeth left at all? Witch hazel, please.
I'm sorry, Millie, honest, but when that fellow took out after Adam, an innocent biler...
I understand, Gideon. You all did your best, I guess.
She dabs Gideon's knuckles.
Good night, boys.
The bruised men get up from the table and file out.
Good night, Millie.
Night, Millie. Night, Millie.
She dabs more witch hazel on Gideon's hand.
I feel awful strange-like, Millie. Here.
He presses his gut.
But if it's what I think ails you, Gideon, witch hazel's not going to help.
Gideon lowers his gaze. Millie lifts his chin and dabs a bruise.
Alice is sweet, isn't she?
He nods.
Good night.
Good night.
Gideon wanders from the kitchen to the front porch, holding his stomach. Outside, Adam leans against a post, smoking his pipe.
Huh? What's the matter with you? Somebody punch you in the breadbasket?
No. I felt this way even before the fight. Ever since I seen Alice.
Adam eyeballs his little brother.
Adam?
Yeah?
Do you reckon I could be in love?
No. Pa used to say love is kind of like the measles. You only get it once. The older you are, the tougher it goes. A young fella like you ought to get a kind of life.
Gideon sits on the steps, resting his chin on his fists. Adam sits next to him and smiles at his pouting brother.
No, I guess not.
Adam leans back.
Well, I don't know as I can answer your question, Gideon. But according to Millie, she's had a heap of book learning.
When you're in love, when you're in love, there is no way on earth to hide it. When you're in love, really in love, you simply let your heart be soft.
Billy approaches from behind.
How can you tell what's in its spell? How can you tell until you've tried?
She listens in the doorway, smiling.
Wait for that kiss, you're certain of. And let your heart when you're in love.
Well, I guess I got the beginnings. But them townspeople will never let us court them gals now. Not after today.
Don't let it fret you. If you don't get this one, there'll be another one to come along. One woman's pretty much like the next. Come on, let's go feed the stock.
They walk off without noticing Millie. Her eyes glisten and her smile has wilted away. She gazes sadly at the porch floor. Wintertime. The Pontopi farm is covered with a blanket of snow. Flakes fall gently to the ground. By a forest, Frank glumly leads a horse along. He stops and pats the animal's head. Gideon leans against a crude fence and gazes upward. He draws the collar of his coat tight around his neck. Dan and Ephraim sit with a collie and a goat. The young men stare off somberly. Later in a clearing, Caleb chops wood below distant snow-covered mountains. Gideon and Frank slowly cut a log with a two-man saw. Benjamin sharpens an axe on a stone wheel as Dan and Ephraim carry over a long, thin log. They lower it to the ground as Caleb makes broad, powerful chops. Behind him, Dan and Ephraim pick up matching axes and chop in unison.
I'm a lonesome pole
cat.
Lonesome, sad, and blue. 'Cause I ain't got no feminine pole. Vowing to be true.
The three brothers swing their axes in a circle and embed them in three stumps.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Can't make no vows to a herd of cows.
Ooh, Caleb walks past Gideon and Frank. He sets a wedge in the saw's cut.
Baying at the moon.
Caleb hits the wedge with the butt of an axe.
'Cause I ain't got no lady friend hound dog.
He cleaves off the log's end.
Here to hear my tune.
Benjamin gives the log end a lazy kick. Then he, Frank, and Gideon sit on the larger piece.
A man can't sleep when he sleeps with sheep.
They shake their heads, each holding up one knee with folded hands. Caleb returns to swinging his axe.
I'm a little old.
Caleb dances, swinging his axe. He makes two forceful swings.
Little gal out loud, here to shoot the breeze.
The brothers slowly return to cutting wood. Caleb swings his axe in a circle over his head.
Can't shoot no breeze with a bunch of trees.
Caleb does one last spin and sits on a log. Four brothers swing their axes at their sides in unison, while Gideon and Frank resume sawing. The four halt the axes sharply and look to the sky to their right. The six brothers shrug their shoulders against the cold. Snowflakes begin to fall on the clearing as they gaze skyward. Now, in the barn's hayloft, Benjamin uses a wooden pitchfork to shovel hay out of the window. As Millie climbs the ladder into the loft, Benjamin stares out at the mountains and snowy forest. She steps over to him.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Not to me. I've seen too much of it. I'm getting out.
Benjamin.
I'm not going to spend another winter here, snowed in for 3-4 months.
What would we do without you? We'd miss you so.
It's funny here to take care of the farm without me.
He resumes shoveling hay. As Millie leaves, Benjamin glances at her, then returns to his work. Now Adam steers four massive Clydesdales hitched to a large sleigh. As he pulls up next to the barn, Millie comes out.
Adam!
Who? Yeah.
Benjamin says he's leaving.
What?
He says it's the winter, but I know it's not that. He's grieving for his girl. They're all grieving for their girls.
Why should they grieve for them girls? They hardly saw more than once.
Millie smiles.
Once is all it takes if it's the right one. When I had such dreams about all of them living round, dozens of babies and children visiting back and forth at Christmas time and birthdays. If Benjamin goes, then another will go, and another.
Adam nods, getting off the sleigh.
I'll talk to him. Who?
He gives the reins a quick tug and ties off the straps. Millie strides through the snow toward the cabin. Later, the brothers sit moping inside the barn. Adam enters, holding a book, and regards his brothers.
You could just get a look at yourselves. You look like a bunch of lovesick bull calves.
They all glance at Adam with gloomy faces.
You're so sweet on those girls, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you go marry him?
Oh, sure. Just go marry him. It's easy as that.
You know they'd never let us marry him now in 1,000 years.
Well, then do like the Romans did with the Sabine women. Or Sabine women, or whatever they called them. Those Romans were in the same fix you're in. They was opening up new territory, and women were scarce, just like here. And there was these Sabine women down in town. So what'd the Romans do? They went down there, and they carried them off. You can't do as good as a bunch of old Romans. You're no brothers of mine. Of course, this being Oregon and God-fearing territory, you'd have to capture Parson along with him.
Hey, them Romans. They the ones I heard about settle up north of here?
No. This was in olden days. I read about it here in Millie's book.
Oh, book.
Well, this is history. This really happened.
Tell you about them sobbing women who lived in the Roman days. It seems that they all went swimming while their men was off to graze. Well, a Roman troop was riding by and saw them in their me-oh-my. So they took them all back home to dry. At least that's what Plutarch says. Oh, yes, them women was sobbing, 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 fit to be tied. Every muscle was throbbing, throbbing from that riotous ride. Seems they cried and kissed and kissed and cried all over that Roman countryside. So don't forget that when you're taking a bride, sobbing fit to be tied from that riotous ride.
So then what happened?
Gather around, I'll tell you.
He sits.
They never did return their plunder. The victor gets all the loot. They carried them home by thunder to Rotunda, small but cute. and you never seen. So they tell me such downright domesticity with a Roman baby on each knee named Claudius and Brute. Oh, yes, them women was sobbing, 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 passing them nights. While the Romans was going out hobnobbing, starting up fights.
Is that so?
They kept occupied by sewing lots of little old togies for them tots and saying, someday women folks will have rights.
Passing all of their nights.
Just sewing.
While the Romans had fights.
Hey, listen to this.
Caleb reads.
Now when the men folk went to fetch them, the women would not be fetched. It seems when the Romans catch them, their lady friends stay catching.
Right. Now let this be, because it's true, a lesson to the likes of you. Wrap them up like them there Romans do, or else they'll think you're pinched.
Oh, yes, them women were sobbing, 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 buckets of tears.
Mighty sad.
On account of old Dobbin, Dobbin, really rattled their ears.
And that ain't all. Oh, they acted angry and annoyed.
But secretly they was overjoyed.
You might recall that when corralling your steer.
Oh, 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 that poor little deer.
What are you sitting there for? Why don't we go down and get him?
The brothers put on their coats. They threw ropes and blankets over their shoulders.
Them sobbing women.
They'll be just like them.
For a while.
Oh, yes!
We're gonna make them sobbing women smile.
They pile into the sleigh and Adam urges the horses forward. The group rides away from the farm. Later, in the dark, snow-covered town, the horses pull the sleigh around a bend in the road. Adam reins them to a stop.
Oh, they...
Go get them. Be quiet about it.
They hop out of the sleigh.
I'll wait for you here.
Adam's brothers move off in the moonlight. Frank hurries up to a window and crouches under the sill. He peeks in.
Dan,
he beckons his brothers.
You're losing here.
Frank leaves. Inside, the girls talk to an older woman.
They're coming out.
Good night.
Ephraim throws a blanket over one girl as they come out. Dan nabs the other.
Got mine.
They swap girls and throw them over their shoulders. Now Frank sneaks to a porch.
How about my goodnight kiss, Sarah?
Oh, Carl, you're so persistent.
Be a sport. Just one kiss.
Well, maybe just a little one. Close your eyes.
Frank clubs the man in the head, then kisses Sarah as Carl drops.
My car.
She opens her eyes.
Frank!
He throws a blanket over her and carries her off. Back at the sleigh, the brothers return with their captives. Frank arrives and adds Sarah to the back of the sleigh.
Come on, Frank. Hey, where's Gideon?
The youngest Potiphy kneels next to a back door.
Meow.
I hear the cat outside.
I'll go, Mrs. Elcott.
Alice's suitor heads out front.
Poor Pansy out on a night like this.
The suitor walks around the side of the house and spots Gideon crouching by the door. Scowling, he sneaks up behind Gideon. The suitor picks up a snow shovel and raises it to strike. As Gideon turns, Benjamin reaches over a fence and grabs the shovel. He knocks the suitor out.
Meow.
Hurry up, will ya?
Meow, 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 meow.
Inside, the Reverend and his wife frown at each other.
Sounds like Pansy has the croup.
I'll look out and back.
As Alice leaves, an orange tabby hops up on Mrs. Elcott's lap.
Oh, it's all right, Alice. She's here.
Alice opens the door and Gideon nabs her with a blanket. Elsewhere, Dorcas turns down an oil lamp. A little girl moves over in bed as the tall brunette blows out a candle. The room goes dark.
Help! Help! Dorcas?
The girl lights a match.
Dorcas
is gone.
Pa! Pa, come quick!
Adam smiles.
Stay down, attaboy, Gideon.
Now Caleb sneaks up to a kitchen window. Inside, Ruth sets a pie on the windowsill. She gets yanked out. At the town center, a man hammers a hanging iron hoop.
What's keeping Benjamin?
I don't know.
Keep him quiet.
Benjamin arrives and throws his kidnapped girl in with the others.
Let's go.
Adam whips the horses ahead and the sleigh glides away through the snow. The brothers struggle to hold the women as they race out of town. Back in town, men approach the man sounding the alarm.
Sarah Kine,
She's gone.
So is Alice.
Ruth Jensen, too.
Where's Dorcas?
With their planopies, the whole seven of them jumped me.
Come on, we'll get him.
A man with a rifle leads. Another man jumps on a horse and spurs it forward. Others jump in a sleigh, and the posse speeds past clapboard buildings out of town. Farther along the road, the Ponteves race down the snowy trail. The men laugh as they hold on to their screaming women. Adam whips his horses, and the huge Clydesdales charge down the road, kicking up clumps of snow. Behind them, a man falls out of the lead posse sleigh. He gets up and jumps on a sleigh that trails behind with other men on horseback. Pine trees stream by in a blur as the Ponteves continue their escape. Far behind, the posse rounds a bend in the road. The snow spits up against the lead sleigh. Horsemen follow alongside the road's high, snowy banks. As the girls punch and flail at their smiling captors, the lead sleigh's driver urges on his team. Mountains loom in the distance. Adam turns back to his brothers.
Hey, stop that yelling! We're coming to the pass! Keep quiet, now we'll have an avalanche done on us.
Adam slows his team of horses as the men clamp their hands over the women's mouths.
All right, here we go. Hold your breath.
Adam looks up at the engorged peaks. A few bits of snow roll over the edge. From a distance, the Ponteves sleigh appears tiny as it inches through the mountain pass. The brothers hold their girls tightly, staring upward. Ephraim's girl knocks his hand away.
Keep it quiet!
A stream of snow pours down the mountainside. Benjamin looks back down the road.
Hurry up, Adam. I can hear them coming.
As the posse closes in, Adam eases the horses toward the end of the pass. He eyes the steep sides cautiously. Cracks appear in the peak's mammoth snowy bluff. A small chunk breaks free and another stream of snow pours down alongside the Ponteves wagon. On the trail behind them, a horseman whips his reins. Slowly, the Ponteves emerge from the far end of the pass. Adam stops the horses.
All right, let him go.
The brothers pull revolvers and start firing at the peaks. The cracks grow in the looming cliffs and chunks of snow break away. The posse approaches the pass and halts.
There she goes!
The crest of the ridge topples, breaking into block-like chunks. The snow cascades down the gray, rocky mountainside and pours into the gap. Pine trees that speckle the sides get washed over. Clouds of powder billow up as the snowslide crashes into the ground. The Ponteves gape up at the torrential avalanche. The women stare with frightened faces. The posse stands helplessly on the other side of the pass and watches the chaos. Their horses shift uneasily. The group of townsmen are dwarfed by the colossal shower of snow. As the loose debris collects at the bottom, the pass slowly fills up. Boulders bounce down the mountain past wavering treetops. As his passengers stare at the flood of snow, Adam smiles. The landslide begins to settle. On the other side, the women's fathers and suitors look on. The Reverend is escorted back to the sleigh, and the posse members turn their horses away. Adam whips his team ahead, and they pull away from the snowy blockage. Later, they arrive at the farm. Millie comes out wrapped in a blanket. The terrified girls swarm around her.
You take these girls back at once. Once
we
hear.
We can't.
There was an avalanche.
I guess they'll just have to wait till spring, that's all.
Millie scowls.
It was your idea, wasn't it?
Well, I'd say it's more yours. It all came out of that book about them sobbing women.
What kind of men are you, anyway? Are you animals that you do a thing like this? Smoking down like hawks, carrying off poor innocents.
Oh, they're just young boys in love, that's all. Didn't you tell me just today you wanted them all married with wives of their own?
Oh, not my mother.
Oh. Please don't cry, Alice. I'm sorry, honest, but it's the only way we can get them married.
Yeah. Gideon's eyes widen.
Adam!
What?
We forgot to get the parson.
I don't want it. Go on in the kitchen. Nothing's going to happen.
Well, cheer up. You got them, haven't you? Everything's going to turn out all right. Now, Millie?
This house is for the girls.
She blocks their path.
You're not going to set foot in it as long as they're here.
You're going to eat and sleep in the barn with the rest of the livestock. Now get out of here. I'm ashamed of you.
Go ahead, boys. Go on.
Shuffling off, they obey.
Now, Millie.
You too.
Well, you're taking this too hard. Now, everything will work out fine. Me and the boys get a parson up here some way.
Do you think those girls would marry them now? You think because you got a wife so easily, because I didn't make you court me and coax me, that that's all there is to it? Well, I said yes to you because I fell in love with you the first time I saw you standing there. And I thought it was the same with you, too.
Oh, Millie.
You think a wife is just a cook and clean. You got no understanding. You got no feelings. Could you do a thing like this? When I think of these poor girls, sick with fright, and their families crazy with worry, I can't abide to look at you.
She turns from Adam and hurries into the house. Adam frowns. He heads away, fuming. In the barn, the brothers slide out of their coats. Adam enters, grabs a blanket, and drapes it on a black horse.
This isn't exactly the way we plan on spending the night. In a barn.
Frank watches Adam saddle a horse.
What do you think you're doing?
I'm getting out of here. Going up to the trapping cabin and wait out the winter.
You can't do it, Adam. You can't stay up there alone.
The cabin's got enough supplies for the next 6 months.
Don't go, Adam. It's us she's mad at.
Nah, it's more than that. Something goes a lot deeper.
Suppose you get sick or break a leg or something. Up there all alone.
The wolves are mighty bad this year.
The wolves have seemed like good company after what I've just been through.
Gideon bolts from the barn. In the Pontopee kitchen, Millie fills teacups for the blanket-wrapped girls.
Nothing like a nice hot cup of tea when you're all tuckered out.
Millie, it's me, Gideon. I gotta speak to you.
Millie leans to the back door.
What is it?
It's about Adam. He's going away up into the mountains, up to the trapping cabin. Millie, can you hear me?
Right here.
Just speak to him. Ask him not to go. Please, Millie.
Millie straightens her shoulders.
He's got to learn that he can't treat people this way.
Outside, Gideon sighs and turns from the door. He walks back toward the barn, glancing through the kitchen window as he passes. Millie's eyes shift, and she returns to filling the girls' cups with her shiny teapot. Daytime. Caleb, Dan, and Ephraim tread around the house carrying snow shovels.
Hey, let's start here.
The three brothers begin shoveling the path next to the house. Ruth pops her head out of a snowy window and smiles down at Caleb. He stops shoveling and smiles back at her. Scowling, she pushes the snow off the windowsill into his face. Liza and Martha lean out a second-story window holding wash basins. As the laughing brothers look up, the girls dump soapy water on them. Caleb laughs. Dan and Ephraim stomp off. Elsewhere, Gideon and Frank carry firewood. They spot Alice and Sarah indoors watching them. As the boys smile, the girls lower the window sash, nod to each other, and pelt the pair with snowballs. Benjamin approaches.
What's the matter, you afraid of a little snowball?
Dorcas opens the door and hurls a snowball, which smacks him in the back of the head. Benjamin breaks the snowball apart.
Snowballs with rocks in them. Them poor little deers. Sobbing buckets of tears.
They sulk off. Later, the women sit inside knitting. Millie reads.
And when the sign was given, drawing their swords and falling with a great shout, they ravished away the daughters of the Sabine. Who is it?
The goateed Caleb opens the front door.
It's me, Caleb.
What do you want?
It's a mighty cold night, Millie. I need an extra blanket.
Ruth beams at him.
Go and get one.
He steps into the house, pausing to smile at Ruth. When she smiles back, Sarah gives her a scolding shove. As Millie continues reading, Caleb exits with his blanket.
And it continues a custom to this very day for the bride, not of herself, to pass her husband's threshold, but to be lifted over in memory that the Sabine women were carried in by violence. Who is it?
The door swings open.
Benjamin.
Dorcas smiles brightly.
What do you want?
My leg is feeling poorly. I need some liniment.
He points, rubbing his leg.
Go ahead. Be quick about it.
Yes, Millie.
He limps in, hesitates by Dorcas, and smiles. They grin at each other until Martha hits Dorcas in the shoulder. Benjamin limps by, then exits the house with a bottle. Millie resumes reading.
The Some say, too, the custom of parting the bride's hair with the head of a spear was in token of...
Millie marches to the front door. Gideon stands in front of his brothers, his head tilted to one side.
I got me a stiff neck.
Now, that's enough of this nonsense.
Oh, we just wanted
Look,
to.
Millie, see, Millie, it was
go
like
on out
this.
To the barn, all of you, and go to sleep, or I'll bolt the door on you.
Millie closes the door, then returns to her chair amid the group of knitting girls. As she looks for her place in the book, the girls stare and smile toward the front door.
Was in token of their marriages. Began at first by wars and acts of hostility, and then...
Millie notices the girls' attentions are focused outside. She smiles, then closes the book with a thoughtful frown. Now, Liza peers out of the boys' bedroom window at falling snow. Inside, all the girls lounge around wearing one-piece cotton undergarments. Liza turns from the window.
Doesn't it do anything but snow up here? We've had a blizzard every day for the past 2 months. I'm going crazy shut up in this house.
Alice, why don't you read out loud to us?
Oh, no.
Oh, we've heard that book 3 times already.
Oh, yes, go on. Read us about the sobbing women.
Please, Alice.
I can't stand it again.
Then go get the dress Millie promised you and I'll fit it to you.
What's the use when there's no one to see it?
No one? Well, I like that. We're no one.
Where's Millie?
Out in the barn, hunting eggs.
Oh, I wish I could hunt eggs. I love to hunt eggs.
Which of the boys slept in this bed, you suppose?
Sarah gapes.
Dorcas Galen.
What's the matter? Didn't you ever think of that? You're sleeping in one of their beds?
Dorcas stretches.
Well, I certainly never thought any such thing.
Liza, Alice, come away from that window this minute. I think it's disgusting standing there where they can see you. I notice that you peek out often enough when you think no one's looking.
I never.
I saw you.
So did I.
You take that back. You hear?
Liza and Martha wrestle.
Don't you dare say a thing like that about Martha.
And what were you doing last night?
Out at the woodpile.
Sarah lunges. Alice separates them and tries to hold Dorcas back. Dorcas falls in between the beds and Sarah jumps on her. Ruth tries to break up the other fight. As all three fall to the floor, Millie enters. Millie helps Dorcas up and they all gather around.
Get up. Oh, girls, please don't squabble. Not now. Not when I need you so much. You see, I'm counting on all of you to help me. Because I'm going to have a baby.
The girls' jaws drop open. The women help Millie sit on one of the beds.
Are you comfortable? We'll take over everything. We'll do your chores, cleaning, cooking, everything.
No, really, you can't. That'd be silly.
Well, where are you going?
Well, I have a few things to do.
Millie, when's the baby coming?
Well, you have to be patient.
But when? In the spring.
As Millie leaves, The girls sit on the beds. Dorcas leans against a post.
I wish it wasn't me.
Dorcas!
I've always wanted to be a June bride.
And have a baby right off. In the spring, maybe.
The girls stare off dreamily.
Oh, they say when you marry in June, you're a bride all your life. And the bridegroom who marries in June gets a sweetheart for a wife. Winter weddings can be gay, like a Christmas holiday. But the June bride hears the song of a spring that lasts all summer long. By the light of the silvery moon, home you ride, side by side, with the echo of Mendelssohn's tune in your hearts as you ride. For they say when you marry in June, you will always be a bride.
Liza takes a bouquet of wildflowers from a pail.
The day a maiden marries is a day she carries through the years.
The church is full of flowers, bridal showers are passé.
They dance.
The groom's waiting at the altar, here comes the bride. They're each promising to love and obey.
They kneel as Liza holds the bouquet.
Yes, man is celebrating, every bridesmaid waiting just to see which one of them will catch the wedding bouquet.
Alice catches the bouquet. Flanked by the girl, she does a pirouette. Martha turns toward her, takes the flowers, and dances a few steps. Next, Sarah holds the bouquet. She does high side kicks. Liza takes back the flowers, prances across the loft, and kneels, smiling brightly. Two girls dance in unison, then gracefully kneel behind her. All six now spread their arms wide overhead, then Liza twirls to her feet. She nods, holding out her ring hand. Now each bride-to-be bounds over to a wooden support post. The young women twirl and dance around the posts, kicking high to the sides. Liza dances away from her post, pivoting on her toes to the middle of the loft. The other girls surround her, stretching their arms overhead. Then they all rush forward. Turn with their hands folded. Dorcas leans against a post as the others recline on the beds. They smile off dreamily. Later, snow falls on the Pontopi farm. Three girls, now bundled up, walk around the house.
In November, the snow starts to fly, piling up ankle high. Come December, it's up to your knees, still the bride's a bride-to-be.
In a window.
January, higher still, to the parlor windowsill.
Millie.
February finds a drift and a storm that seems never to lift.
They carry firewood.
March comes in like a lion. What else? Till the snow never melts.
Inside.
April showers will come, so they say, but they don't. And it's May. You're about to forget the whole thing.
Sunlight shines through the bedroom window. The girls raise the sash and smile out. The snow disappears from the covered house.
All at once, one day is spring.
Farm animals wander around in front. Now a calf nurses. Caleb escorts Ruth along the animal pens. They stop at the fence and Ruth smiles into the cow's corral. They move to a sheep pen next to it. Ruth bends over to pet two lambs and the mother sheep. Caleb carries a bucket to a long trough. As he dumps the bucket of vegetables and slop, a black and white sow trots over, followed by seven matching piglets. Ruth sits on the fence. Caleb faces her and takes her hands.
Oh, the barnyard is busy in a regular tizzy, and the obvious reason is because of the season. Ma Nature's lyrical with her yearly miracle. Spring, spring, spring.
With Ben and Dorcas.
All the hen folk are hatching while their men folk are scratching to ensure the survival of each brand new arrival.
Each nest is twittering, they're all babysittering. Spring, spring, spring.
Frank and Sarah.
It's a beehive of budding son and daughter life. Every family has plans in due. Even down in the brook, the underwater life is forever blowing bubbles too.
Liza and Ephraim.
Every field wears a bonnet with some spring daisies on it. Even birds of a feather show their clothes off together.
Sun's getting shattery to spotlight the finery.
Gideon and Alice.
From his eyrie, the eagle with his eagle eye gazes down across his eagle beak. And the fixin', his lady with the legal eye, screams, suppose we set the date this week.
Gazing at doves, they climb out of a flowering tree and run off hand in hand. Now with everyone.
Yes, sirree, spring discloses that it's all. One supposes it's a real bed of roses, wagon tails, rubber noses. Each day is Mother's Day, the next is some other day when love is king.
Frank, Dan, Ben, Caleb, everybody,
Millie's having her baby.
The couples leave the blossom-covered hillside and follow after Ephraim. Now, as the brothers pace around the living room, Dorcas scurries down the ladder staircase. She goes to the large stone fireplace and takes a copper tea kettle off the fire. As she dashes back to the stairs, Martha runs down, bumps into Dorcas, then disappears into the kitchen. The boys start pacing again, and Liza comes down. Alice calls from the upstairs landing.
Liza! Martha, Ruth, hurry! Hurry!
Liza rushes back upstairs with another kettle. Ruth and Martha scramble from the kitchen and climb the stairs while holding up their long, full skirts. The men watch them race to the bedroom, then resume pacing. They stop and stare toward the ceiling. Gideon stands open-mouthed, and Caleb wrings his hands. Benjamin, Frank, and Ephraim gape. Smiles stretch across their faces.
I'm an uncle.
Gideon faints back through the kitchen doorway. Later, Millie lies in bed smiling at her baby. Dorcas enters and places a doll figurine on the bed. Benjamin follows, carrying a white pitcher with red roses inside. He kisses Millie's cheek. Ruth places a rattle on the bed, and Caleb lays a little shirt on the blankets. Frank brings tiny shoes to Millie and kisses the new mother. Dan and Ephraim enter behind Liza and Martha. The two brothers carry a wooden rocking cradle. As they set it at the foot of the bed, Alice and Gideon enter with a high chair. Gideon sets it down, then kisses Millie's cheek. Millie shakes the rattle in front of her baby. She beams at the infant's pink, wrinkled face. Now smoke wafts from a short chimney on a snow-covered log cabin. Gideon rides a brown horse up to the shelter. He dismounts and ties off the animal.
Adam! Adam!
Hey, Gideon! Couldn't stand the barn any longer, eh?
I come to get you, Adam. I'll take you back with me.
Adam's smile fades and he folds his arms.
Yeah?
Well, Millie has a baby. It come day before yesterday.
Adam's mouth drops open.
I don't believe it.
Well, it's as true as I'm standing here.
I don't believe it. Just one of her tricks to get me back.
Tricks? Why, you live with Millie as man and wife and you don't know nothing about her. She's got pride and she's spunky.
Yeah.
Why, she'd never bring herself to ask you back.
She'd be wasting her breath.
Adam grabs fur pelts off the cabin wall.
I don't figure to go.
Not even to see the baby? Your own kin? Your own little girl?
My girl? I might have known she'd have a girl.
He lays the pelts across Gideon's horse.
I'll be back when the pass is open. I'll stay away till the shooting's over.
Adam? You're my eldest brother. Now, I've always looked up to you. I tried to ape you. But today, I'm ashamed for you. Now, I know you can lick me. Lick the tar out of me. But I wouldn't hold myself no kind of man unless I showed you how I felt.
Gideon punches his brother. Adam grabs him by the collar. They glare at each other. Then Adam lifts his brother onto the horse. He unties the reins and hands them to Gideon.
Now get.
Adam slaps the horse and Gideon trots off. The younger Potipi glances back as he slowly rides away. Adam rubs his chin and blinks thoughtfully. Now at the town center.
The pass is open! The pass is open! All able-bodied men gather at the meeting house.
A few men on horses gallop up.
Bring your rifles, your scythes, your guns, axes, any kind of weapon.
A wagon pulls up. The reverend and a pair of riflemen climb aboard.
Are you ready, men? Yeah!
The townsfolk watch as the posse rides off.
Big Potipi's is killer.
Meanwhile, the Potipi's play musical chairs with the girls. They dive for empty chairs. Gideon ends up on the floor. Adam enters the front door. He and Millie lock eyes. Everyone stands and stares at him.
Well, what are you staring at? Told you'd be back when the pass was open.
The pass?
Oh, Millie, if Carl's there, he'll kill Millie. He'll fight.
Go upstairs, girl. Go on, quickly.
The frightened girls rush upstairs.
Let's get the guns.
The brothers file out the door. Adam stops Gideon.
Tell him to hitch up the wagon.
Wagon?
Plenty of blankets and straw in there. Go ahead.
As Gideon rushes out the door after his brothers, Adam paces over to the staircase where Millie stands. His eyes fall upon the baby's wooden cradle. Adam slowly sits down next to it, gaping at the tiny child inside. The little girl lies under a satiny patchwork quilt with a fluffy pillow beneath her head. The baby watches him with dark, sparkling eyes. Her arms twitch as Adam reaches in and touches the baby's small fingers. He pulls back slowly.
What do you call him?
Well, I was thinking of some name like Hannah or Hagar or Hepzibah. Picking up where your mother left off.
He smiles proudly at his little girl.
Hannah.
Millie nods.
I got to thinking up there in the mountains. Thinking about the baby. About how I'd feel if somebody came sneaking in and carried her off. I'd string him up the nearest tree. String him down like a wood of thieving fox.
He turns to face his wife.
I thought about you too when I was up there. Seemed like I couldn't get you off of my mind.
He steps up close to her and gazes deeply into her eyes.
Millie, when you're in love. When you're really in love.
Millie hugs him, and Adam smiles brightly. They kiss. Gideon returns and spots the married couple. He takes a step back and lowers his gaze. They look over to the young man.
The wagon's ready, Adam.
All right. Now get the girls. I'm going to take them back. Back to their families.
Gideon's eyes widen, and he bolts out.
Adam, you will be careful.
He turns from his wife and leaves. Outside, Adam jogs over to the barn where his brothers hold rifles.
We're not letting you take them back, Adam. We talked it over amongst us, and we're all agreed.
They ain't going.
They're our girls now.
They stare at Adam, stone-faced.
I say I'm taking them back. I'm still head of this family.
And I reckon you'll have to show me.
Likewise.
They set aside their guns.
What do I have to do? Beat some sense in your dumb heads? Don't you know taking them back's the only way you're ever going to get them? The whole town's coming up here.
Let them come. We'll fight them all.
Sure. Sure you will. And who'll you be fighting? The girl's kinfolk. Someone's bound to get hurt. A father, brother, maybe.
They lower their eyes.
Think the girl's going to marry after that?
Gideon steps away from his brothers and stands by Adam.
Adam's right. I stand with Adam.
Well, don't stand too close.
Millie runs up.
Adam! Adam, the girls have gone. They've run away.
Well, go get them. Get them back. Come on.
The boys scatter. Meanwhile, the posse races along the thawed mountain trail. The Ponopies search the farm.
Dorcas! Come back! You'll get hurt!
Now the posse leader addresses the Reverend and the others.
Now let's keep it quiet. They can hear us from here. We'll creep up on them.
Alice! Please, Alice!
Two chickens fly out of the hen house. Gideon dashes inside. Gideon pulls Alice out.
I'm not going back! I'm not going back! I'll stay here with you!
You've got to! It's the only way!
He throws Alice over his shoulder. Nearby, her suitor hears.
It's Alice!
Elsewhere, Caleb spots Liza hiding behind a haystack. He lunges. She runs and he tackles her. As men close in on the farm, Ephraim points at the house.
Hey, there they are!
Sarah and Martha sit on the porch roof. Ephraim climbs up and the girls jump off onto a mound of snow. Elsewhere, Frank spots Ruth and Dorcas under two cows. He and Benjamin grab the girls. Now the posse comes out of the woods. As a man aims his rifle, the leader pushes his gun barrel down.
Don't, you'll hit Dorcas!
They charge forward. Nearby, the Reverend leads more posse members slowly through the woods. Millie watches from the porch with her baby. The Reverend stops in the underbrush. His eyes shift.
Oh, no. Not that.
At the Ponopy wagon, the brothers struggle to get the women in the back. The women escape and run into the barn. The brothers give chase. Benjamin climbs into the loft after Dorcas. Adam enters the barn.
Grab a dress, Ben!
The posse closes in on the barn. They open the doors and pull Adam down from behind. They find two couples struggling in the horse stalls. Gideon and Benjamin wrestle with their girls in the hayloft. The posse leader climbs up. He pulls Benjamin off Dorcas. She opens her eyes and sits up covered with straw.
Oh, my God!
He helps her up. Alice escapes from Gideon and runs into her father, the Reverend.
Alice.
Down below, men pull Caleb off of Ruth and Frank off of Liza. As two townsmen haul Frank away, Liza faces a man with a rifle.
What are you going to do to him?
We're going to hang him with the rest of them from the nearest tree.
The fathers gather their mewling daughters. The Reverend climbs down from the loft.
Just a minute before we go, there's one thing we've got to know from our girls.
Girls! Now, Reverend, what is it you want to know?
We're all fathers here, and we love you. So don't be afraid to answer. A while back, I heard a wee babe crying in the house. Whose is it?
The girls look to one another.
Whose is it? Don't be afraid to tell.
They all smile.
Mine!
Later, the fathers stand behind the Ponteby couples holding rifles. The Reverend speaks.
Do you, Alice, Ruth, Martha, Liza, Sarah, and Dorcas, take these men to be your lawfully wedded husbands?
They slowly look back at their fathers, who give a single nod.
We do.
And do you, Benjamin, Caleb, Daniel, Ephraim, Frankincense, Gideon, take these girls to be your lawfully wedded wives?
The brothers look back. The fathers take a single step closer with their rifles.
We do.
I now pronounce you men and wives.
Adam smiles and looks down at Millie, who grins. They kiss. In the living room, the newlyweds stand in a line, each united in their wedding kiss. Words appear. The end. Seven brides for seven brothers. Made in Hollywood, USA at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cast. The Ponteby brothers. Howard Keel as Adam. Jeff Richards as Benjamin. Russ Tamblyn as Gideon. Tommy Rall as Frank. Mark Platt as Daniel. Matt Maddox as Caleb. Jacques Jambois as Ephraim. Courtesy of the New York City Ballet. The Brides, Jane Powell as Millie, Julie Newmar as Dorcas, Nancy Kilgus as Alice, Betty Carr as Sarah, Virginia Gibson as Liza, Ruta Kilmonis as Ruth, Norma Doggett as Martha, and others.